Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Cajun.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden on this sunny, beautiful Wednesday. It's a Chuck and Julie Show, the truth straight up. And we're sponsored by our ever loyal
AmericasCitizenPress.com and Dr. Julie McCallan and Denver Cenogenics. Hey, I want to say happy St. Patrick's Day. I know people listen to it later, but today is St. Patrick's Day. This was as close to green as I had. I don't think you even have any. This is green. It's technically green. It's a problem with the cameras.
Do you have any Irish in your family?
Yeah, really? I'm a half Irish. Irish and German. Irish and German.
Looking through mine, I've got a great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, who was an O'Doherty from Ireland. So lots of English and Anglo-Irish. And so they all hate each other.
Yeah, I think in my family, originally the name was O'Heden. I think you have a much more celebrated family history than mine. Mine, I think, were like rum runners or things like that.
We had rum runners. The one thing about if you find out about your ancestry or whatever else, you'll have all of a lot of things. Some
That's
rich
right.
and famous and some notorious and all the way through.
Years from now, what our legacy, if they'll be like that Chuck and Julie, oh my God.
Yeah,
will they be like, yay for them? Or they'll be like, will we be thrown into the Pirates and the Rum Runners?
I hope the Pirates and the Rum Runners, because it's better being the other
It is, it is. Hey, a lot to talk about today, as always. George Anthonisopoulos, though, the A-man, is coming up at 3:30.
Talk about the big race for the Republican chair, which really is very important.
Yeah, well, and George, and between you and George, and callers to all of you guys, our listeners, great insights into the Colorado Republican Party and why it
for good and for bad.
For good and for bad, and why it matters so much. But wanted to start out today.
I always fool Julie.
I know, because I said, "What do you want to talk about?"
I go, "I don't know anything." But I was just amazed, and I just read about it this morning. The Michigan court said, "No. You're absolutely right. The Secretary of State, a Democrat, had no right to waive all the rules. And your remedy is
nothing.
Nothing. From now on, they can't do it until they do it again. And then you can't stop it. And the courts won't do anything. And you lose again. This idea that no, it was all on the up and up, everybody. It was all on the up and up.
Except when it's not. We'll get to that because we talk to
George. Difference, really, and the more I get into deep into Republican politics, I really understand that for Republicans, politics is a tea party.
Right.
Like, except against
for Democrats, it's war.
It's a blood sport.
Right, right.
I mean, they play by totally different rules.
To get into that, let me talk about then today's topic, because again, Democrats never let a tragedy go to waste.
Butcher,
let's go
by.
Ahead and explain it. You may have heard about the tragedy in Atlanta, 8 people shot and killed at 3 different Asian massage parlors.
I didn't know that Atlanta was the hub of Asian sex parlors, but apparently it is.
Well,
but that'd be racist.
Technically, they're just massage parlors now. We're not sure. But 7 of them were women, 6 of them were Asian. Now, the suspect himself was caught, captured, and said that he is a sex addict and that it didn't have anything to do with race. Asian, that had nothing to do with it. He said he did indeed kill them because he believed them to be sex workers and he didn't want to be tempted by them.
Did he realize that half of humanity are women that he could be tempted by?
Well, at any rate,
he had a lot of killing to do.
It had nothing to do with race. The cops have said it had nothing to do with race. The Democrats even all start out saying, well, we don't know the motive yet. We do know the motive, actually, by the way, truth straight up. It had nothing to do with race. It had everything to do with they were sex workers. But the Democrats have turned around and now it's trending all over the place. Stop Asian hate. So I thought to myself, what's up with this sudden Asian hate stuff? All of a sudden, it's all over the place. And coincidentally, why is LeBron James, NBA, China in their pocket, China Joe? Why are all these people with these money connections to China leading the charge for this? And so I did some research. We'll get to in a second. But I want to play this bite from Kamala Harris. It's perfect.
You can always count on Kamala to give
you the truth. Notice she starts out with a lie. I'm going to give you
a preview. And then goes to a bigger lie.
And then goes goes to a bigger lie. She started out saying we don't know the motive. We do know the motive. And then she said, but either way. So, Tom, if we could play the Kamala Harris soundbite on this Atlanta shooting, please.
Not yet clear about the motive, but I do want to say to our Asian American community that we stand with you and understand how this has frightened and shocked and outraged all people. But knowing the increasing level of hate crime against our Asian American brothers and sisters, we also want to speak out in solidarity with them and acknowledge that none of us should ever be silent in the face of any form of hate.
Now, so I thought to myself, and Chuck has a meeting, so I did. I had time to do research this morning. Why do we think that suddenly there has been this surge in Asian hate crime, and we haven't heard about it at all until all of a sudden Joe Biden's talking about it. Everybody's talking
before it even happened.
So here's some of this. CBS had a report. Asian hate crime is up 150%. The New York Times in New York, Asian hate crime up 833%. Man, that sounds pretty alarming. And I'm like, well, why do we think this? Well, shockeroony, it all comes from a study commissioned by the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University in Berkeley. Okay, so now what, I'm just going to guess what their tendencies are. But hey, let's just say they did a legitimate study on Asian hate crime. You know that it's a crook because none of the media outlets reported that. Even the Washington Examiner, they report these alarming statistics, but none of them actually report the actual numbers, okay? The numbers behind the statistics. So you're going to get it here on the Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up. Okay, so in Denver had a 300% increase in Asian hate crime last year. You know what those numbers are? We went from zero to three.
Well, that's mathematically incorrect.
Oh, well, it's my math there then.
No, your math's not, but they just couldn't, because there wasn't a one.
Right.
One and three, but they, well, let's just call it. We could have called it 3,000. We could have called it 3 billion. So, it wouldn't make any difference.
But the numbers, no, we're not talking 100 to 300. We're talking zero to three. In LA, which had like 114% spike, it went from 7 to 15.
There you
okay.
go.
In New York, this 833% spike from 3 to 28. Seattle, 9 to 12, an increase of 3. Number one, all of these, by the way.
They don't seem to have the good old Chicago death.
No, you know why?
Why?
Because it was down in Chicago. They had so many other people murdered in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so all of the cities that had this spike, right?
Huge,
Democrat controlled, by the way. And here's something else you need to know about the statistics from the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism out of Berkeley, California. These are not cases that were tried and prosecuted Asian hate crimes. No, these have just been declared Asian hate crimes.
And who is the head of the Berkeley Institute?
Well, you know, it's a guy, I forget his name, but guess where he came from before he was the director of the Hate and Extremism Center? Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay.
Oh, you can trust. Another, they're the gold standard.
They're a gold standard of crack.
Just like Connor's a gold standard in voting.
They've been sued repeatedly, but for calling. When I was a reporter at Fox 31, every so often I'd be like, you guys, we got to tell the truth here. We can't keep repeating this nonsense from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have what they call a little hate map, right? If you go to their website and they're like alarming looking little red dots all over the place. And you look at Colorado and like, oh my God, there are all these little red dots and hate. And then you click on it and they just make it up. I mean, it's sort of like the Washington Post and the Trump, Georgia Secretary of State quotes, right? They just make it up. There's no group. There's no website. There's no people. There's no anything. So just sort of back up. This sudden surge in Asian hate crime is a totally manipulated, exploited narrative by the Democrat Party and China, I guess, China money, people who need the money from China.
That's a lot of people.
And then the media is complicit and corrupt in this.
No.
It is outrageous to me.
Say it ain't true.
Maybe a single. I didn't look at all of them. But the stories that I look at from the major news outlets reporting this alarming surge in Asian hate crime, none of them looked at the actual numbers. Because you got to admit, that's kind of a difference, Chuck. If I say it's up 300% and it's like, well, how many were there? My God, Julie, you're like, well, three. And actually, we don't even know that they were Asian hate crimes. I mean, they weren't prosecuted as such. And in many of them, actually, it was determined that the person being Asian had absolutely nothing to do with it at all. Just like this Atlanta thing. But that doesn't stop the Democrats from pursuing this. So
what
I'm thinking to myself in part two that why all of a sudden are we so worried about this? And why is LeBron James tweeting about it? I mean, there have been plenty of murders that LeBron James doesn't get involved in.
Honey, LeBron James is a social justice warrior. Oh. He's a man who cares about these things, and he cares about sneakers in China.
He cares exactly in his Nike contract in China. He doesn't care about the Chinese forced labor camps. He doesn't care about the Hong Kong protests and the Hong Kong prosecutions. No. So LeBron James is like, stop Asian hate. We know why they would want to do it. And I just think you got to follow the money. But also, interestingly enough, earlier this month, timing coinciding, not a coincidence though, with the surge in Asian hate crimes, a Gallup poll came out that found that 2 years ago, Americans thought that the number one foreign enemy was Russia. Mm. But this time around, they thought it was China. Well, now, mostly for economic reasons.
Because China has 20, 30, 40, 1,000 times the economy, has 10, 20, 30 times the size military. It is a dominant world power, and Russia has the GDP below Italy.
But we've all learned
that Putin. He's a killer.
Luckily,
Xi isn't in China. He's just an enslaver.
Well, yeah, you don't want to kill him because they can be slaves.
Yeah,
right.
Better use them as slave labor.
Exactly. And so, and then like 80% of Americans had an unfavorable view of China in this
China
Gallup
hate.
Poll. You just got to follow the money, right? So the people who are standing up defending China, and they're manipulating us. And I think there are a number of things here. Number one, now we can all blame this on Trump, right? It's all Trump's fault because he said China flu, right?
Yeah.
Number two, the Democrats, the Chinese or Asian Americans, maybe we're becoming suddenly too
independent. Tired of being discriminated against by everybody else, like in Harvard and all that. But we don't need to worry about
And they were being successful, and they didn't realize they were victims.
They work hard, which we know is a hate crime.
Right.
And many other things.
They had no idea that they were so victims. It's a useful tool in a lot of ways. One, it helps them try to counter the Americans' negative perception of China for legitimate reasons, so they can make more money off of China. It's kind of hard to keep, all these contracts that people have. There was another congressman or somebody in Congress recently who had like millions and millions of dollars in a bank account from China. Mm. It's kind of hard to do that if people don't like China.
Bidens are
Hunter Biden still has.
He's still trying to. Would you buy his 10% interest in this?
So he's
trying to unload it. Because he's never gotten a penny from China.
Maybe there has been an increase in hate crimes against Asians.
There's always been
an increase, but again, don't buy their lies. It's a psyop. It's like 833%, and it's like six. It's ridiculous.
And then
you have this Atlanta case. They aren't even hiding it. The police are like, well, no, it's not a race. Nothing race had nothing to do with
crime.
It.
It's a sex crime.
Well, yeah. I could see if the Democrats were saying, we need to stop this hatred against sex workers. That's a legitimate claim, but to say we need to stop this hate crime against Asians when there is no surge, number one, and number two, even if there was a surge, this wasn't an example of it.
Let's go to Don from Colorado Springs on line one. Don, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, people.
Good afternoon, people.
It's been a while since I've talked to you guys, and like I said, maybe there's something coming out about the election that could be some amp evidence that it was stolen, but even if that's the case, Trump made his bed and basically screwed him out of a second term. I think I'm still in agreement with Peter Boyles on that. Plus,
you'll get HR1, and then you won't have to worry about elections. Like you don't have to worry about them in Colorado.
Well, the thing of it is, the Republican Party did this to themselves.
No, they didn't.
They could have been that party of conservatism, but as Steve Dace points out, they hate their base. They want a base that is a little more liberal, but hates socialism and all of that. And speaking of which, I also agree with Steve Dace that Trump allowed Fauci to run the country, and Fauci, being the liberal leftist that he is, took us to where we are now.
Oh, I think I agree with you. I don't know if he allowed him. I think Trump was between, if we go back to the beginning, a rock and a hard place on it. I agree with you that Trump should have you know, I was surprised to hear him say, I think people should go out there and get the vaccine. I would have preferred him to say, I think people should do what they think is best for their own health. But, you know, on the other hand, if you're Trump, one of your great victories, as he keeps saying, was getting this vaccine out there. So, of course, you want to encourage people. But, you know, I don't know, Don, we'll see, because we're going to shift to the filibuster here, too. And then we're going to talk to George.
Yeah, get rid of that. And you won't have to worry about the senator again.
And then George about that. But, you know, again, like I'm saying with this Atlanta, the Atlanta murders, Democrats take advantage of every tragedy and they twist it around and turn it around.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Exactly. Yep, don't mind lying straight about it. And I cannot believe the corruption.
Look, guys, I am no fan of the Democratic Party. But, you know, if the Republican Party does not like its base, if we're just supposed to kiss up to them, you know, as the lesser of two evils.
Ultimately, it's
going to fall apart.
Who in the Republican
Peter's
Party
finally come
like
around that this whole Duverger's law doesn't work anymore.
Who in the Republican Party doesn't like their base? Things have to be renewed.
I mean,
Don, tell me, because we either fall slowly
or we fall quick. But either way,
who in the Republican Party doesn't like their base? Who in the Republican Party doesn't like their base?
Yeah, I think it's changing, Don, I would say.
I mean, who? Trump? Trump, that is his base. That is the Republican
base. No, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about people like Mitch McConnell and Bush.
They
don't want to be conservatives. They just want to make their little money and be immoral and whatever they want to do.
Right.
I agree with you, Don.
They're authentic hypocrites.
Yep. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you for the call. Don't be a stranger.
You have a good one.
You too.
Good to hear from you, Don.
This from Karen Cataline, and thank you for writing in here, Karen, talking about the Democrats. These totalitarians are so predictable. They plan and calculate everything. This is a proactive pre-plan before the fact to potentially suppress opposition when China attacks the U.S. in some major way, either through immigration or some other means. Hope it doesn't happen, but these are times in which we're living. You know, and Karen, and it's not just China. I mean, it's all kinds of things. Did you see today Ford Motor Company, which in 2019 promised under Donald Trump's pressure to build a state-of-the-art plant in Ohio, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Now announced they're moving it to Mexico.
Mexico. Didn't take long for China, China Joe, to help our economy even more.
So you're absolutely right. And I think...
Well, Don's right that the establishment portion of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party hates its base. And that's true in Colorado, too. I mean,
right.
And the Democrats help those establishment people be elected by funneling them all the money.
But again, this you could see this rollout was a plan. All of a sudden, out of the blue, Joe Biden in his only state or national speech starts talking out of the blue about Asian hate crime.
And lo and behold,
there was a surge. Mm-hmm. And of course, a surge in the media. Again, nobody in the media says, well, you know, going from 9 to 12, I mean, that's bad if it happened. But none of them actually cited cases. None of them demanded to see the actual cases. And some media organizations did report on some of them in which they found out that the cops were like, oh, turns out it wasn't a hate crime after all. It was just there was some man, unfortunately stabbed, but it was just random, had nothing to do with him being Asian, but it's still called an Asian hate crime.
Good
so,
enough.
You know, it's kind of like the COVID thing, right? You're tested positive just because we changed the definitions. Years ago when I was in Denver, they handled gang crime the same way. They had a surge, a real surge in gang crime. So what did they do? Change the definition of gang crime.
Right.
And lo and behold, way few. So I guess the key is they're lying to you. And they're going to continue to lie to you.
As
Obama,
always.
They're all jumping in. And you got to ask yourself, why all of a sudden are we so worried about protecting China? Got to wonder about that.
Wow.
888-627-6008 if you want to chime in. 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom, if you want to come in too. And George Anthonisopoulos always takes phone calls as well. Leo says nobody ever goes to those Irish massage places. That's right. And actually, frankly, Leo, that's a whole other story. I got a feeling that there are plenty of massage parlor owners in Atlanta nervous about all the police traipsing around right now.
Mm.
And you'd think, here again, I think there are a lot of things to be concerned about with those places, but the Asian hate crime being pretty low down on the topic there.
They didn't get the owner of the New England Patriots down in Atlanta, they're safe.
Exactly. Wanted briefly before George comes on to talk about the filibuster. Because I've been saying I told Chuck, because you have do such a good job of explaining it, because I was researching that too today. I had time today. We have back in school. It's amazing what you can get done. And you were at your meeting. But the filibuster thing, what do you think is going to happen there? And is it as big a deal as, I think it is, but why don't you explain why?
Well, because if you don't have the filibuster, which came in 1805, the real problem is whoever has a majority will make it so they're always in the majority. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, if you had a system in which said, you know, the filibuster doesn't count unless they endorse rules which makes them a majority forever, I have no problem. I can't stand the fact that the Republican Party always says, no, we can't get anything through the Senate. Yeah. We can't get anything through here. Democrats always figure some way around it, like the COVID bill.
Right.
They said, no, it really originated here.
Right.
But what they'll do is Guam will become a state, so will D.C., so will Puerto Rico. They'll adopt H.R. 1, and they'll make sure they permanently have a majority that can never be replaced. Other than that, I don't have a problem with them, because then people could see what the Democratic Party does and react to it and throw them out of office. But they're not going to be able to throw them out of office, because they'll rig it so that it's they're permanently in place, just like they've rigged it in Colorado. So it'll be a disaster.
What about the I was reading something and it was indicating that's why everybody's leaving, because Mitch McConnell, they don't really have very much power anymore.
Well, you always have power as long as there's a filibuster, but quite frankly, the leadership takes all the things and gives it to all the military contractors and everything else. I think they're getting out because, I don't know, what purpose are they anyway? What are these?
So do you think they're going to get rid of it, or be some convoluted, because I was reading and I'm like, it made my eyes glaze over, convoluted situation where it'll be like, if the bill is introduced on Tuesday on an odd number day, then they don't. I got the impression they don't think that they, being the experts, aren't going to get rid of it completely, but the Democrats are going to go ahead and mess it around so that they can use it when they want to and not use it when they don't want to.
Yeah, get H.R. 1. If you give them H.R. 1 and maybe some Supreme Court packing in a few more states, and they won't do everything else, and Mitch can have some money for the defense contractors. I don't know what they'll do, but you're facing a Democratic Party who hates democracy, hates elections, and will do anything to rig them. And I don't know how you can live with Democrats. You've got to move someplace.
This is my new thing. Nullification. I think that's what we need to do.
They did that in South Carolina in 1823, and it was ruled.
No, I'm talking about do it the way the Democrats play, right? Yeah. In Colorado.
That's what nullification is, states' rights. That's what the Southern states said, that they didn't have to follow
This is my new definition.
It's the same. It's the same idea, except when the Democrats do it, it's fine.
Social justice.
And when we do it,
right? That's what I'm saying. We need to, as Republicans, and we could talk about this with George. Ted Trepa is right. He said Republicans will win when they start deciding they want to win.
They won't, because it's been rigged against them.
Well, we need to play. I keep saying we need to. If they're going to rig it, we need to quit calling it rigging and call it the new rules and adjust to those new rules new rules and beat them at it. So let me finish. So when the Boulder County clerk and recorder said, I am going to give gay marriage licenses, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't legal in Colorado, mm-hmm. nobody hollered. So I think we need to, as Republicans, say, with the mask mandate, not wearing a mask. You have no constitutional authority to tell me I can't wear a mask. We need to say, we're going to hold a meeting here. I'm going to have a barbecue, Joe. And just do it. And I think if enough people do it, yes, it's going to be hard. And yes, it's going to be painful. But I think that's about the only answer.
Lead that charge?
No, not the Republican Party, but what about people? I think people, that's what's going to come down to. I don't think we're going to be able to, and nor do I think it's a good idea to just leave the country and start our own country. That's not going to happen.
Well, you could take those states who want to not be, you cannot work with Nazis and communists. You really can't, because one election, it's over.
But what if you just, my point is that what if you just somewhat ignore them and say, no,
they'll have you arrested, shot, they will have you imprisoned, you'll become a Uyghur.
Okay, but if enough people do it, I guess that's what I'm saying.
They'll shoot enough people. You think the Nazis in Germany were worried about how many people they shot and put in concentration camps?
Well, and here's this is Mark Julie. If we do it the way the Democrats do, then we need to get the FBI to look the other way at our crimes, and we need the CIA to publish, et cetera. That's true, Mark. I mean, I'm not saying it's just going to be snap your fingers easy. Mm. And I understand every system is in its own way rigged against it.
I see that Peg is up there. Let's talk about my first meeting for the executive committee of the Republican Party. I was thrilled we got them to, instead of having an electronic meeting, have an in-person meeting.
Yay! And then, yay for the grassroots.
Yay for the grassroots. But then what happens?
Well,
and so Peg got
you guys found all kinds of great venues.
I'm pronouncing it wrong because I always do, but Charis Bible College, 3,500 persons, outside of in El Paso, so they wouldn't enforce it. We wouldn't have had absolutely anything. And then they change it to, oh, we'll do it to the place right next to our Greenwood Village office, and you'll have mask mandates, and you'll have contracting because you're with Marriott, and so you might as well just roll over for the Democrats. It is an amazing thing to watch that, notwithstanding an express vision to find a place that we could be, they just do the minimal. And there's Peg right there.
There's Peg right on here. So we're going to all have to invest in caffeine, energy drinks. It's like we can't ever rest, can we?
No. Well, we had a win. And yes. thanks to Chuck and some of the people on the new executive committee. It was wonderful. We had a win. They said we could have our in-person meeting. And then they decided to, as Chuck was saying, they said we can have our in-person meeting if we find the venue. We found the venue, and it was a wonderful thing. I actually had the head of the guy who would set it up for us. I had him on the phone, and he said, "Well, let's call the party, and you be with me when we talk about the venue, so we can get this secure." That was back on Friday night, and then on Monday we hear that they've gone ahead and secured the Marriott. So Teller County on Wednesday, last Wednesday, has a Republican county commissioners, and they repealed all of the COVID restrictions. Right. And so they lifted those. We got another call yesterday from a venue that said that they would do it in Colorado Springs. They had a nice big venue, and they wouldn't use the COVID restrictions. So why the Republican Party is going to a place where we need to kowtow to these Democrat mandates that have no legal effect, I just don't understand it. Chuck, it's almost like they don't want us to go and be there.
Well, here's what about
no
this
kidding.
Idea?
No
what
kidding.
About this? Maybe we should start. And I know you guys are gonna like knock me off my stool because you don't be saying this. But what if you all go there and start my little thing and don't wear the mask? Say, nope, not going to do it.
You cannot
go. They'll torture you. They'll cattle prods.
They'll use cattle prods to do everything else. I mean, it's just, you now know that the chair and the staff really do not care what they're instructed.
No, because you're right, Peg. They should have been thrilled for you guys saying, yeah, because first of all, it was like, pulling teeth to get them to even, I know Chuck was talking with some of the staff there, and they're like, oh, the dog ate our phone, so we can't get on that right away. You'd think that they would have been, hooray, good for you guys. You're absolutely right. We've got this vote. And then you're absolutely right. They should have said, yay, we found a place where we can be free. And they're like, no. So that's a complaint you have. They're going to the place. You're like, no, you're still going to be restricted.
Right. And, if the Republican Party had been strong early on, We would have never shut down like we did. People wouldn't have lost their businesses like they did. There's so many grassroots meetings with, what are we going to do? How are we going to stand up to the government? And when you've got the Republican Party that is supposed to be of the people, for the people, by the people, kowtowing to these mandates and leading out of fear.
Right.
But it's amazing.
How do we get out from under this?
And we've got George on the line, so he'll be joining us. The Republican Party, when they say the Republican Party, often what they mean is the two people who are paid in the office and the chair.
Right.
That is
right.
The entirety of the Republican Party.
Right.
And they decide you know, matter what they're instructed to do, what they want to do anyway in some kind of form. And so, you know, first and foremost, we got to get a new chair. And two, we've got to no longer go along with them just crooking everything they touch.
Well, you know, we had a wonderful event yesterday at the protest at the Republican Party office because we wanted them to listen to us and to give us the in-person meeting that they had promised. And part of that survey that we took, Chuck, at it's on my website, pegcage.com. With that survey we took, overwhelmingly people wanted to meet in person, and overwhelmingly they wanted to use paper ballots. They want an honest election. They don't want to do these electronics anymore. One of the things that one of the speakers talked about yesterday, Sean Smith, pointed out that, you know, if you have a cell phone, you probably got COVID information downloaded onto your cell phone.
Well, just like Amber Alerts. You know, all of a sudden you get an Amber Alert, kind of beep, beep, beep.
Yep.
Right. Did you ask for that? No. How did that get on there? And also,
and you can't get off until you say okay.
Right.
You know, you cannot just get rid of it. You can't get until you say, you know, you comply.
Right. Peg, Susan, just sec, Julie, because Susan Beckman pointed out that the GOP has on their website a glowing review of the text-to-vote app that we're going to be using, and that is what they want to get into municipal elections. Oh, so yeah. It's the camel's nose under the tent. Yep, they want to get us doing. You know, the GOP says it's okay to use electronic voting.
Right.
So let's do it.
Yep. No, I know. Peg, thank you for that. We'll get you back too. We've got George waiting, so we want to get to him. All right.
I want to hear George.
Okay. Thank you for your fights. Let us bring up the A-man, George Anthonisopoulos. We used to refer to him as a Republican strategist, and he still is, but now he has a real job. So we just call him the A-man. Hey, George, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're doing good. Hey, I want to share. Can I share a cute story about you guys? You for a second? If you say no, I'm going to anyway. So I'm on the phone with George yesterday, and George has two little boys like we do. We have one, but he has two. And you hear this clinking, and you can tell George has a military background. And his kids are saying, and he's saying something like, get back out there and go to work. I'm like, go to work. Your kids are little. And he's like, going, they're preparing. What do you say? They're preparing their defense. You were having a snowball
defensive
fight.
Defensive positions.
Yep. Yeah, he said they're fixing their defensive positions. I'm like, what?
Defensive perimeter around the house.
Hey, we take our snowball fights very seriously in this house. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
All right, George, well, we got the Republican race coming up for the chair. Nothing's more important, to tell you the truth, if the Colorado Republican Party is going to stop being just a foldover of which three people get to decide everything, even if only one of them was actually elected. So what's the latest and the greatest on the chair race?
So I'm not going to talk the minutia of what I believe the state party should do to gain a certain level of relevance. But as I've been watching the race unfold, I am adamantly convinced that the one candidate who cannot be elected state chair is Scott Gessler. He cannot win. He would be terrible for the Republican Party in the state of Colorado. And I don't say that because, you know, if you look at his Facebook page or whatever, he says some of the things that I would say, or you would say, for instance, the importance of local races. Okay, check. Making sure the integrity of the ballot is sacrosanct. Okay, fine. But there are other things that people are not talking about that I think would make him the worst state chair we've had in quite some time. And that is he is a man who seeks conflict with the Democrats. And it's not just
there's nothing wrong with that.
Contrast. No. But there has to be a purpose. And drawing a contrast, picking fights, attacking people who disagree with you, okay, fine. Lord knows I'm no shrinking, you know, wallflower, but at the same time, there has to be a purpose. And when you are doing it in a way that tells me, oh, hey, there is no purpose. This is personal. And,
well,
you know, he relishes the name Honey Badger. That's
right.
What he's been referred
well,
to.
Give me a fight that he got into that's just personal and had no political purpose.
Well, let me finish the point here, which is he's at a debate. He's debating, I guess, other state chair candidates. He's talking about he looks forward to, you know, the conflict. And, you know, I've seen him. He seems to be downright vindictive when it comes to some of the other candidates or the other candidates' supporters. And I don't see that as healthy. I see that as exacerbating the things that are wrong with the state party. And you know that I'm the great uniter within the Republican Party, peacemaker, if you will. And I think he would set us back significantly. I mean, if you look at his reaction to, you know, a couple of the activists when it comes to election integrity, like that's not normal.
What do you mean, George? Or can you do that?
I mean, without giving away too much,
no,
I
no,
know
give it,
he responded.
Give it away.
All I can say is he responded in a way that is not appropriate.
Okay. Well, you've indicated that you've had conversations with people who've been, is it fair to say, sort of at the receiving end of what you're calling this sort of in a vindictive behavior. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. And I love a good fight just as much as anybody, but it has to be rational. It has to be for a purpose. It can't just be, you know, me lashing out.
Yeah. Well,
if you look at it, professionally, Scott, if you look at this last election cycle, the Republicans were trying to harangue John Hickenlooper for accruing all these legal fees paid for by you and me.
Right.
Scott ran up four times that amount in his lawsuits as Secretary of State. So, I mean, how can we condemn Hickenlooper for what Scott Gessler did four times over?
Well, but I don't blame Scott Gessler for the fact the IEC went after him and try to destroy him. I mean, yes, the system stinks, but his alternative is to be crushed by them. So, I mean, as long as Scott Gessler is fighting Democrats, I like his aggressiveness. My problem is that it won't be that. It'll just be, how do we take all the money, divide it among all the officers, and the rest goes to consultants, and that's it. Just like it is every election day. Well, we'll raise lots of money, but they never raise any money. They take any money they get from the RNC and pay it to themselves. Or they pay it to their best Andy
Scott
George
ones. How is Scott different? How many?
He's not different. Right. That's my problem with him.
Yeah, I think he's part of it. And for the record here, let me just kind of clarify this too, because we've had Casper on, and I think it's Casper in the waiting room. So Casper, if you want to hang on, we'll give you a chance to talk here. We've had Christy Burton Brown on, who is one of the other chair candidates.
We invited the guy from Lakewood, Devin.
Reached out to Scott Gessler through other people too, and haven't heard back.
It might be fun to have Jonathan Lockhart on.
And if anybody Scott Gessler's camp is listening, we're happy to have him on to respond. I think though, from what I've seen, I agree with Chuck, and I don't know about this stuff that you're talking about, George. We've had you on, and I take you at your word that you've talked to people who have said, hey, this kind of stuff is going on. I agree with Chuck, though. A bigger thing is I think he would be same old, same old. And that's, I guess we could lose the CU region at large seat, Heidi Ganahl. That's the only one we have left. It's same old, same old. Our dog Tiger could do a better job running the Republican Party.
Somebody said, why do you spend all the money on the governor and other races said, well, that's the way it's done. And you kind of go,
well, because that's where the consultants make their money. Right.
And it's just same. So well,
that's where consultants and attorneys make their money. First of all,
don't put attorneys in there, George. I mean, you bankers are just as bad.
attorneys need to make money too.
Attorneys make money just like consultants do. Scott has shown that he is happy to bill in 6-minute increments when it comes to campaigns and ballot initiatives and recall efforts. And yes, I do see him as more of the same. I see him as potentially worse because it will become all about Scott.
Is there some, and Casper is texting us on the chat portion, and he's referencing something he says that he thinks this might be what you're kind of dancing around a little bit, so we'll get to that in a second. But who do you like, and why?
At this, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, love Casper. I think Christy Burton Brown would be great. You know, it is, at this point, though, to keep Scott from becoming state chair, I would vote for Santa Claus if I were a voting member.
Well, thank goodness you have a text phone, so we can all text in, right? Let me broaden it out then, because I don't want to keep putting you on the spot with, you know, obviously something you don't want to.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to divulge things that are not mine, but, you know, if people listening want to take me at my word, then I encourage them to do so. All I know is if I were a voting member, I would absolutely not vote for Scott Gessler. I don't think he'll clear 50% on the first ballot. I think we're going to have several ballots like we had last time. And go out and vote for your favorite candidate that's not Scott. And then as candidates are eliminated, consolidate that vote, voting for Scott. And so at the end, someone who is not Scott can win. Now, again, there are things the state party can do and things that it can't do.
There are a lot of things the state party can do.
Yeah,
I promise you there are a lot of things the state party can do. It just doesn't do it.
Yes, and I think that there are several candidates who would do some good things for the party. I think that there are several candidates who are open to ideas from the grassroots. I think that there are several candidates who would do the types of things that we want done. What I firmly believe is that Scott is not one of them.
And once again, I want to make it clear that we invite Scott Gessler to come on the show and explain what he would do.
Right.
Because I don't want to just say.
Yeah. Anybody else out there who's running too? Well, let me, George, sort of a broad question. And I think Chuck is absolutely right in that this is a really, you know, because like you said, it's very easy to get bogged down in the minutia. But the overall thing is, I think the person who was elected, the chairperson of the Colorado Republican Party going forward, particularly in this era where Trump, I think, is going to continue to dominate Republican Party and Trump's supporters are going to continue to demand more and more to be heard, even here in Colorado. I mean, I think this
particularly here in Colorado.
Yeah, this is an extremely important election, don't you think?
The chair race?
The chair race.
Yes, I do.
There are, I'll put it to you this way, things can get incrementally better over time, but things can get much worse very quickly if we elect the wrong person. And let me just start. Here are the few things that kind of clued me into Scott. So you go back and you look at the editorial he wrote about Tabor. And, you know, he wrote that, you know, Tabor hurts Republicans. Well, let's just contrast that with Trump. Trump was for building a wall. He never wavered. That was a principle that the Republican Party stood on, which is we have to have secure borders. I want someone who is unequivocal when it comes to their support of Tabor. I want someone who, helps local candidates, not bills them in 6-minute increments until they don't have any money left. I want someone who, you know, if who at least, okay, let's say you're talking election integrity, and let's say that you are a Colorado Republican Secretary of State. If you are now against Dominion voting machines, then, you know, don't represent yourself as always being against Dominion voting machines if you were not. So if you go back and you look at a press release, September 9th, 2014, Scott Gessler announced the final vendors eligible for certification through Colorado's Uniform Voting System Initiative, first among them, Dominion.
Yeah.
So you can't be against something after being for it without admitting you were for it before you were against it. Like, let's not John Kerry flip-flop on this and not acknowledge it.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's those types of things. Like, at least if you made a mistake, be honest about it. Do not represent
yourself as educate us all into why. I mean, I think you're right there. I mean, Scott Gessler's in a position to know why he selected him and to explain why he now doesn't. I mean, it's the Dominion thing is complicated and sort of fraught with, you know, they every time you mention it, they talk about QAnon, which is ridiculous. But again, if he's going to come out and say, okay, hey, look, I changed my mind on it. Here's why. That's important that that he kind of explain all that so people understand.
And I mean, if he selected Dominion, which again, Google it. December 9th, 2014. Better yet, DuckDuckGo it. But anyway, go back and look. September 9th, 2014. Look at the press release. If he selected Dominion, why? And then if he is now against Dominion, why did he change his mind? That's the level of transparency I feel Republicans deserve, and he is not giving them right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, Will, listen, we're going to let you go. I'll let you have a couple of the final word because I want to go ahead and give Casper some time, who's a chair here, too, because I see that he entered in there. So, I mean, any other sort of final points or final thoughts you would want to make on this race?
I will just say people have been listening to me on the radio, this show and others, for several years now. If they like what I have to say, if they agree with me, I would ask them, believe me when I tell you that Scott is not the candidate you want to vote for. Vote for anyone else. Vote for Santa. Actually, don't vote for Santa because that wastes your vote. Vote for another candidate.
Santa's a lefty these days.
Yeah. I think it's been canceled. I don't think you can vote for Santa anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot Santa was canceled. Shucks. Okay, so that makes him probably ineligible.
Along with the Grinch
that
stole Christmas is canceled. Yeah. All right, George. It's always great to talk to you.
Yes.
It's good to hear
Thank
from
you.
You.
Go beef up your perimeter defenses. And
hey, if you're going to get into a snowball fight, you got to fight to win. Just saying.
That's right. Exactly. All right, George, thank you for
Thanks
your thoughts.
So much,
I appreciate
George.
It so much. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Take care. Bye.
All right, thank you. And then I see, so Casper Stockman, so folks who are listening, is another one of the candidates for the Colorado Republican Party chair. And Casper, if you're there, go ahead. If you want to turn your camera on and unmute yourself, unless you've left.
I've unmuted. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay.
I'm working on it.
What, so do you know, George clearly was being a little bit, I think he didn't want to give away what he perceived, what he was sort of confidences, but he did kind of want to share, hey, look, I've learned and heard some things.
Yeah.
George, what do you have to say about the whole thing?
George is a great politician. So he's not wanting to, you know, to get too into the weeds, and I don't want to get into the weeds either.
Well, what is it? Just kind of give us a general idea.
There was a conversation, and I put the link in the chat.
Okay.
There's a conversation between Scott and some activists. I believe George was talking about, and Scott's response to her, I think it was a her, was very expletive laced.
Right.
He was calling her all kinds of effing this and a-hole that. And,
ooh.
Yeah. And
this is not very professional.
No, it's not very professional. And it's a real conversation. Now, I'm sure all of us have said a cuss word or two in a heat of the moment, but this went on for several minutes. It wasn't just like a oops. It was like a long drawn out conversation that the individual put the transcript of on her blog.
Okay.
And what's her blog?
It's the link that's in the
Is it the Holly at altitude?
Yes.
Okay.
Hollyataltitude.com.
Okay, I'll look for it.
I don't know the details behind the conversation. I'm just looking at the wording of the conversation, and it's just not becoming of someone, you know, that should be leading our party, you know, to where they just get, because I just answered an email from someone who called me everything but a child of God. And my response to her, and it's somebody, you know, I'm not going to say her name, but somebody, you know, and I just said, you know, thank you for your very spirited email. And you know what? I'm going to look forward to working with you as the next state chair.
You're learning, well, aren't you?
You know, and yeah, exactly. But Casper, because I won't thank you for doing that. Where can people find out more? Because again, I think it is such an important
race.
Well,
contrast yourself with the two other candidates if you can in 30 seconds. Yeah.
Well, that's real easy. That's real easy to do. So I'm out here doing it, and they're out here talking about doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing training right now, and they both said it's a great idea, but neither one of them are doing it. I'm doing outreach in the community. In fact, we're having a barbecue here on Friday in the Hispanic community, a community barbecue. They both said it's a great idea to do outreach, but I'm the only one doing it. So if you want to let someone that's doing, Casper is your guy. If you want to let somebody who's talking about doing it, then the other candidates are your guy.
All right. But now, does Joe Biden know you're having a barbecue,
Casper? I thought that was contingent upon every one of you obeying.
And I will say this for you, Casper, too. Even at your training meetings, you're like, we're not wearing the masks. We're not doing this. I mean,
no, we're not.
You're like, hey, look, this is America. I remember it, if not enough other people do.
Yeah. And I will be peacefully protesting the event on the 27th by doing some civil disobedience.
All right, good for you.
All right, Casper. Then where can people find out more about you and your training? Because I think the training is great.
CasperForColorado.com. I'll type it in the chat box. And then also AmericaFirstRepublicans.us is our training site. I'll type both those in the chat box. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I...
That's all right.
That's the point. Yeah, you do a great job. And, you know, hey, I appreciate you paying attention and listening. And you know, like we said, everybody's voice is welcome. So thank you for doing that.
Including Scott Kessler.
I'm always listening, just so you know.
We only say good things about you. All right, thank you. Now, this from Mark Diamond. He said, I personally would vote for Casper if I had a vote. Go, Casper, go. So, you know, and again, we'll be keeping you up to speed on the race because, again, I think, as Peg pointed out, there was an important grassroots victory. I mean, this is why it pays and is important, I think, Chuck, just like you did. You know, you just got involved. You don't just talk the talk. You're getting involved. You're doing things at a very basic, you know, entry level, so to speak. But then, boom, you can rise up and you can make a difference. But like you said, you got to be ever vigilant because then they're like, oh, okay, now we're going to go here where we can wear it, where we have to wear a mask and stuff. And
it was pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pathetic. They took something that everybody could be proud with and made it shameful. But.
Okay. Oh, here, no, I'm not going to have time to do this. People are texting me the conversation. I'm going to do the tease. I'm going to do the tease for this. Well, I don't have time because actually, and you saw me put my glasses on. I, you know, if somebody can figure out a way to, I need a giant cell phone so I can read the text. So I'm going to tease. We will read this. We'll read the conversation.
Parts of it. Family friendly podcast.
That's right. And on Friday, also Friday, we'll be talking to Patrick Neville.
Yeah,
and one of the other things I'm hoping to get on, I got to converse with them is, you know, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle did a great story about some of the unemployment fraud that's been going on. People were victims. Well, we got a call from a listener who put us in touch with some law enforcement officers who are being overwhelmed in some of the smaller communities with elder citizens saying that they're getting tax notices for unemployment to pay on unemployment that they never received. And the cops are like, well, I mean, it's just become, and then meanwhile, today, the Denver Post, the state auditor found the Colorado unemployment system is a complete joke and a fraud and can't account for millions and millions of dollars. So we hope to get them on as well.
All right. Well, next up is Party Friday, and it should be a good show, and we'll have lots of new news for you. And
we'll read the conversation in question.
Well, certain edited
portions. Meanwhile, check everything out at chuckandjulie.com. We'd love to have you subscribe to our newsletter and subscribe to us if you haven't already on YouTube. But again, all the podcasts, everything linked there at chuckandjulie.com.
Take care, everybody. Thanks, BBS, and everybody else involved.